outside six.
In the picture gallery outside the Orchid Suite, where temporary headquarters had been set up, Powell and Beck met for a conference. Their mental exchange took exactly 30 seconds in the lightning tempo typical of telepathic talk. "Well, it's ripe for demolition, Jax. We tripped him up in that talk, and I sneaked a peep in Maria's study just to make sure. Ben's our boy. You'll never prove it, Link. Can the guards help? Not a chance. They've lost one solid hour. DeSantis says their retinal rhodopsin was destroyed. That's the visual purple.
Mm-hmm.
What you see in your eye. As far as the guards are concerned, they were on duty and alert. Nothing happened until the mob suddenly blew in. Nothing much. And Maria was screeching at them for falling asleep on the job. And how the guilt corpse can screech. Which they emphatically swear they did not. But we know it was Reich. You know it was Reich. Nobody else does. He went up there while the guests were playing the sardine game. He destroyed the guards' visual purple. How? Some way. And robbed them of an hour of time. He went into the Orchid Suite and killed De Courtney. How did he kill De Courtney? The girl got mixed up in it somehow, which is why she ran. And last of all, why did he kill De Courtney? I don't know. I don't know any of the answers yet. You'll never get a demolition that way. That I do know. You've got to show motive, method, opportunity, objectivity. All you've got is a peeper's knowledge that Reich killed De Courtney.
Uh-huh.
Did you peep? How or why? Couldn't get in deep enough. Not with Joe Quartermain watching me. And you're probably never get in. Joe's too careful. Hell and damnation. Jackson, we need the girl. Barbara De Courtney? Yes, she's the key. If she can tell us what she saw and why she ran, we'll satisfy a court.
I agree.
Collate everything we've got so far and file it. It won't do us any good without the girl. Let everybody go.
Right.
They won't do us any good without the girl. We'll have to backtrack on Reich. I'm beginning to hate her. See what collateral evidence we can dig up. But
it won't help without that damn girl.
Times like this, Mr. Beck, I hate women too. For Christ's sake, why are they all trying to get me married? Image of a horse laughing. Sarcastic retort. Sarcastic reply. Having had the last word, Powell got to his feet and left the picture gallery. He crossed the overpass, descended to the music room, and entered the main hall. He saw Reich, Quartermain, and Tate standing alongside the fountain, deep in conversation. Once again he fretted over the frightening problem of Tate. If the little peeper really was mixed up with Reich, as Powell had suspected at his party the week before, he might be mixed up in this killing. The idea of a first-class Esper, a pillar of the Guild, participating in murder was unthinkable. Yet, if actually the fact, a son of a bitch to prove, nobody ever got anything from a first without full consent. And if Tate was, incredible, impossible, 100-1 against, working with Reich, Reich himself might prove impregnable. Resolving on one last propaganda attack before he was forced to resort to police work, Powell turned towards the group. He caught their eyes and directed a quick command to the peepers. Joe, Gus, Jeroff, I want to say something to Reich I don't want you to hear. I won't peep him or record his words. That's a pledge. Quartermain and Tate nodded, muttered to Reich, and quickly departed. Reich watched them go with curious eyes and then looked at Powell.
Scared them off?
He inquired. Warned them off. Sit down, Reich. They sat on the edge of the basin, looking at each other in a friendly silence. No, Powell said after a pause, I'm not peeping you.
Didn't think you were. But you did in Maria's study, eh?
felt that?
No, guessed. It's what I'd have done.
Neither of us is very trustworthy, eh?
Sir,
Reich said emphatically.
We don't play girls' rules. We play for keeps, both of us. It's the cards and weaklings and sore losers who hide behind rules and fair play.
What about honor and ethics?
We got honor in us, but it's our own code, not the make-believe rules some frightened little man wrote for the rest of the frightened little men. Every man's got his own honor and ethics, and as long as he sticks to them, who's anybody else to point the finger? You may not like his ethics, but you got no right to call him unethical.
Powell shook his head sadly. You're two men, Reich. One of them's fine, the other's rotten. If you were all killer, it wouldn't be so bad. But there's half louse and half saint in you, and that makes it worse.
I knew it was going to be bad when you winked.
Reich grinned.
You're tricky, pal. You really scare me. I never can tell when the punch is coming or which way to duck.
Then for God's sake, stop ducking. Get it over with, Powell said. His voice burned. His eyes burned. Once again he terrified Reich with his intensity.
I'm going to lick you on this one, Ben. I'm going to strangle the lousy killer in you, because I admire the saint.
This is the beginning of the end for you. You know it. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? For an instant, Reich wavered on the verge of surrender. Then he mustered himself to meet the attack.
And give up the best fight in my life?
No. Never in a million years, Link. We're going to slug this out straight down to the finish.
Powell shrugged angrily.
They both arose. Instinctively, their hands met in the four-way clasp of final farewell.
I lost a great partner in you, Reich said. You lost a great man in yourself, Ben. Enemies?
Enemies. It was the beginning of demolition.
Chapter 7. The police prefect of a city of 17.5 millions cannot be tied down to a desk. He doesn't have files, memoranda, notes, and reels of red tape. He has 3 esper secretaries, memory wizards all, who carry within their minds the minutiae of his business. They accompany him around headquarters like a triple index. Surrounded by his flying squad, nicknamed Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod by the staff, Powell jetted through Center Street, assembling the material for his fight. To Commissioner Crabb, he laid out the broad outlines once more.
We need motive, method, and opportunity, Commissioner. We've got possible opportunity so far, but that's all. You know old man Mose. He's going to insist on hard fact evidence.
Old man who? Crabb looked startled.
Old man Mose, Powell grinned. That's our nickname for the Mosaic Multiplex Prosecution Computer.
You wouldn't want us to use his full name, would you? We'd strangle.
That confounded adding machine, Crabb snorted. Yes, sir. Now I'm ready to go all out on Ben Reich and Monarch to get that evidence for old man Mose. I want to ask you a straight question. Are you willing to go all out, too?
Crabb, who resented and hated all espers, turned purple and shot up from the ebony chair behind the ebony desk in his ebony and silver office. What the hell is that supposed to mean, Powell?
Don't sound for undercurrent, sir. I'm merely asking if you're tied to Reich and Monarch in any way. Will you be embarrassed when the heat's on? Will it be possible for Reich to come to you and get our rockets cooled?
No, it will not, damn you.
Sir,
Winken shot at Powell. On December 4th last, Commissioner Crabb discussed the Monolith case with you. Extract follows. Powell, there's a tricky financial angle to this business, Commissioner.
Monarch may hold us up with a demurrer. Crab, Reich's given me his word he won't, and I can always depend on Ben Reich. He backed me for county attorney. End quote.
Right, Wink. I thought there was something in Crab's file.
Powell switched his tactics and glared at Crab. What the devil are you trying to hand me? What about your campaign for county DA? Reich backed you for that, didn't he?
He did.
And I'm supposed to believe he hasn't continued supporting you?
Damn you, Powell. Yes, you are. He backed me then. He has not supported me since.
Then I have the beacon on the Reich murder.
Why do you insist that Ben Reich killed that man? It's ridiculous. You got no proof. Your own admission.
Powell continued to glare at Crab.
He didn't kill him. Ben Reich wouldn't kill anybody. He's a fine man who...
Do I have your beacon on this murder?
All right, Powell, you do.
But with strong reservations, make a note, boys. He's scared to death of Reich. Make another note. So am I.
To his staff, Powell said, Look here, you all know what a cold-blooded monster old man Mose is. Always screaming for facts, evidence, unassailable proof. We'll have to produce evidence to convince that damn machine he ought to prosecute. To do that, we're going to pull the rough and smooth on Reich. You know the method. We'll assign a clumsy operative and a slick one to every subject. The clock won't know the smoothie's on the job. Neither will the subject. After he's shaken the rough tail, he'll imagine he's clear. That makes it a cinch for the slicker. That's what we're going to do to Reich.
Check, said Beck. Go through every department. Pull out 100 low-grade cops. Put them in plain clothes and assign them to the Reich case. Go up to lab and get hold of every crackpot tracer robot that's been submitted in the last 10 years. Put out all the gadgets to work on the Reich case. Make this whole package a rough tail. The kind he won't have any trouble shaking, but the kind he'll have to work to shake.
Any specific areas? Beck inquired.
Why were they playing sardine?
Who suggested the game?
The Beaumont secretaries went on record that Reich couldn't be peeped because he had a song kicking around in his skull.
What song? Who wrote it?
Where did Reich hear it? Lab says the guys were blasted with some kind of visual purple ionizer. Check all research on that sort of thing. What killed de Courtney? Let's have lots of weapon research. Backtrack on Reich's relations with de Courtney. We know they were commercial rivals. Were they deadly enemies? Was it a profitable murder? A terrified murder? What and how much does Reich stand to win by de Courtney's death?
Jesus, Beck exclaimed. All this rough? We'll louse the case link.
Maybe. I don't think so. Reich's a successful man. He's had a string of victories that made him cocky. I think he'll bite. He'll imagine he's outsmarting us every time he outmaneuvers one of our decoys. Keep him thinking that. We're going to run into some brutal public relations. The news will tear us apart. But play along with it. Rave, rant, make outraged statements. We're all going to be blundering, outwitted cops, and while Reich's eating himself fat on that diet,
you'll be eating Reich, Beck grinned.
What about the girl? She's the one exception to the rough routine. We level with her. I want a description and photos sent to every police officer in the country within 1 hour. At the bottom of the stat, we announce that the man who locates her will automatically be jumped 5 grades.
Sir, regulations forbid elevation of more than 3 ranks at any time. Thus spake Nod.
To hell with regulations, Powell snapped. 5 grades to the man who finds Barbara de Courtney. I've got to find that girl.
In Monarch Tower, Ben Reich shoved every pizza crystal off his desk into the startled hands of his secretaries.
Get the hell out of here, and take all this slack with you, he growled. From now on, the office coasts without me, understand? Don't bother me.
Mr. Reich, we'd understood you were contemplating taking over the de Courtney interest now that Cray de Courtney's dead.
I'm taking care of that right now. That's why I don't want to be bothered. Now beat it, Jet.
He herded the terrified squad towards the door, pushed them out, slammed the door, and locked it. He went to the phone, punched BD12232, and waited impatiently. After a long time, the image of Jerry Church appeared against a background of pawn shop debris.
You, Church snarled and reached for the cutoff. Me, on business. Still interested in reinstatement?
Church stared.
What about it? You made yourself a deal. I'm starting action on your reinstatement at once. And I can do it, Jerry. I own the League of Esper Patriots. But I want a lot in return.
For God's sake, Ben. Anything. Just ask me.
That's what I want. Anything? And everything. Unlimited service. You know the price I'm paying. Are you selling?
I'm selling, Ben, yes.
And I want Kino Quizzard, too.
You can't want him, Ben. He isn't safe. Nobody gets anything from Quizzard.
Set up a meeting. Same old place, same time. This is like what it used to be, eh, Jerry? Only this time, it's gonna have a happy ending.
The usual line was assembled in the anteroom of the Esper Guild Institute when Lincoln Powell entered. The hopeful hundreds, all ages, all sexes, all classes, each dreaming that he had the magic quality that would make life the fulfillment of fantasy, unaware of the heavy responsibility that quality entailed. The naivety of those dreams always made Powell smile. Read minds and make a killing on the market. Guild law forbade speculation or gambling by peepers. Read minds and know the answers to all exam questions. That was a schoolboy, unaware that Esper proctors were hired by examination boards to prevent that kind of peeper cheating. Read minds and know what people really think of me. Read minds and know which girls are willing. Read minds and be a king. At the desk, the receptionist wearily broadcast on the widest TB band.
If you can hear me, please go through the door on the left marked Employees Only. If you can hear me, please go through the door on the left marked Employees Only.
To an assured young socialite with a checkbook in her hand, she was saying, No, madam, the guild does not charge for training and instruction. Your offer is worthless. Please go home, madam. We can do nothing for you. Deaf to the basic test of the guild, the woman turned away angrily, to be succeeded by the schoolboy. If you can hear me, please go through the door on the left. A young Negro suddenly detached himself from the line, glanced uncertainly at the receptionist, and then walked to the door marked Employees Only. He opened it and entered. Powell was excited. Latent espers turned up infrequently. He had been fortunate to arrive at this moment. He nodded to the receptionist and followed the latent through the door. Inside, two of the guild staff were enthusiastically shaking the surprised man's hand and patting him on the back. Powell joined them for a moment and added his congratulations. It was always a happy day for the guild when they unearthed another esper. Powell walked down the corridor towards the president's suite. He passed a kindergarten, where 30 children and 10 adults were mixing speech and thought in a frightful, patternless mishmash. Their instructor was patiently broadcasting, Think, class, think. Words are not necessary. Think. Remember to break the speech reflex. Repeat the first rule after me. And the class chanted, "Eliminate the larynx." Powell winced and moved on. The wall opposite the kindergarten was covered by a gold plaque on which was engraved the sacred words of the Esper pledge. "I will look upon him who shall have taught me this art as one of my parents. I will share my substance with him, and I will supply his necessities if he be in need. I will regard his offspring even as my own brethren, and I will teach them this art by precept, by lecture, and by every mode of teaching, and I will teach this art to all others. The regime I adopt shall be for the benefit of mankind, according to my ability and judgment, and not for hurt or wrong. I will give no deadly thought to any, though it be asked of me. Whatsoever mind I enter, there will I go for the benefit of man, refraining from all wrongdoing and corruption. Whatsoever thoughts I see or hear in the mind of man, which ought not to be made known, I will keep silence thereon, counting such things to be as sacred secrets." In the lecture hall, a class of thirds was earnestly weaving simple basket patterns while they discussed current events. There was one little overdue second, a 12-year-old, who was adding zigzag ad-libs to the dull discussion and peaking every zig with a spoken word. The words rhymed and were barbed comments on the speakers. It was amusing and amazingly precocious. Powell found the president's suite in an uproar. All the office doors were open, and clerks and secretaries were scurrying. Old Tsung Hei, the president, a portly mandarin with shaven skull and benign features, stood in the centre of his office and raged. He was so angry he was shouting, and the shock of the articulated words made his staff shake. "I don't care what the scoundrels call themselves," Tsung Hei said. "They are a gang of selfish, self-seeking reactionaries. Talk to me about the purity of the race, will they? Talk to me about aristocracy, will they? I'll talk to them. I'll fill their ears. Miss Prin! Miss Prin!" Miss Prin crept into Tsung's office, horrified at the prospect of oral dictation. "Take a letter to these devils, to the League of Esper Patriots, gentlemen." "Good morning, Powell. Haven't seen you in eons. How's dishonest Abe?" "The organized campaign of your clique to cut down guild taxation and appropriations for the education of Espers and the dissemination of Esper training to mankind is conceived in a spirit of treachery and fascism. Paragraph. Tsung wrenched himself from his diatribe and winked profoundly at Pao. "And have you found the people of your dream yet?"
"Not yet, sir."
"Confound you, Pao! Get married!" Tsung bellowed. "I don't want to be stuck with this job forever." Paragraph. "Miss Prin, you speak of the hardships of taxation, of preserving the aristocracy of Espers, of the unsuitability of the average man for Esper training. What do you want, Powell?"
"I want to use the grapevine, sir."
"Well, don't bother me. Speak to my number two girl." "A paragraph, Miss Prin. Why don't you come out into the open? You parasites want Esper powers reserved for an exclusive class, so you can turn the rest of the world into a host for your blood-sucking. You leeches want to..."
Powell tactfully closed the door
and turned to Sung's second secretary, who was quaking in a corner.
"Are you really scared?"
Image of an eye winking. Image of a question mark quaking. "When Papa Sung blows his top,
We like him to think we're petrified. Makes him happier. He hates to be reminded that he's a Santa Claus. Well, I'm a Santa Claus, too. Here's something for your stocking.
Powell dropped the official police description and portrait of Barbara de Courtenay on the secretary's desk.
What a beautiful girl, she exclaimed. I want this sent out on the grapevine, marked urgent. A reward goes with it. Pass the word that the peeper who locates Barbara de Courtenay for me will have his guild taxes remitted for a year.
Jeepers! The secretary sat bolt upright. Can you do that?
I think I'm big enough in council to swing it. This'll make the grapevine jump.
I want it to jump. I want every peeper to jump. If I want anything for Christmas, I want that girl.
Quizard's casino had been cleaned and polished during the afternoon break, the only break in a gambler's day. The EQ and roulette tables were brushed, the birdcage sparkled, the hazard and bank crap boards gleamed green and white. In crystal globes, the ivory dice glistened like sugar cubes. On the cashier's desk, sovereigns, the standard coin of gambling in the underworld, were racked in tempting stacks. Ben Reich sat at the billiard table with Jerry Church and Kena Quizard, the blind croupier. Quizard was a giant pulp-like man, fat with flaming red hair, dead-white skin and malevolent dead-white eyes.
Your price, Reich told Church. You know already. And I'm warning you, Jerry, if you know what's good for you, don't try to peep me. I'm poison. If you get into my head, you get into demolition. Think about it.
Jesus, Quizard murmured in his sour voice. As bad as that. I don't hanker for a demolition, Reich.
Who does? What do you hanker for, Kano?
Question.
Quizard reached back and with sure fingers pulled a rouleau of sovereigns off the desk. He let them cascade from one hand to the other.
Listen to what I hanker for.
Name the best price you can figure, Kano.
What's it for?
To hell with that. I'm buying unlimited service with expenses paid. You tell me how much I got to put up to get it, guaranteed.
It's a lot of service.
I've a lot of money.
You got 100 M's lying around?
100,000, right? That's the price.
For the love of... Church popped upright and stared at Reich. 100,000?
Make up your mind, Jerry, Reich growled. Do you want money or reinstatement?
It's almost worth... No, am I crazy? I'll take reinstatement.
Then stop drooling.
Reich turned to Quizard.
The price is 100,000.
In sovereigns?
What else?
Now, do you want me to put the money up in advance, or can we get to work straight off?
Oh, for Christ's sake, Reich, Quizard protested. Frab that, Reich snapped. I know you, Kano. You got an idea, you can find out what I want, then shop around for higher bids. I want you committed right now. That's why I let you set the price.
Yeah, Quizard said slowly. I had that idea, Reich.
He smiled and the milk-white eyes disappeared in folds of skin.
I still got that idea.
Then I tell you right now who'll buy from you. A man named Lincoln Powell. Trouble is, I don't know what he'd pay.
Whatever it is, I don't want it,
Quizard spat.
It's me against Powell, Kano. That's the whole auction. I place my bid. I'm still waiting to hear from you.
It's a deal, Quizard replied.
Right, Reich said. Now listen to this. First job. I want a girl. Her name is Barbara de Courtenay.
The killing?
Quizzard nodded heavily. I thought so. Any objections?
Quizzard jingled gold from one hand to the other and shook his head.
I want the girl. She blew out of the Bowman house last night. No one knows where she landed. I want her, Kano. I want her before the police get her.
Quizzard nodded.
She's about 25. Above 5'5", around 120 pounds. Stacked. Thin waist, long legs.
The fat lips smiled hungrily. The dead white eyes glistened.
Yellow hair, black eyes, heart-shaped face, full mouth, kind of aquiline nose. She's got a face with character. It jabs out at you. Electric.
Clothes?
She was wearing a silk dressing gown last time I saw her. Frosty white and translucent, like a frozen window. No shoes, no stockings, no hat, no jewelry. She was off her beam, crazy enough to tear out in the streets and disappear. I want her.
Something compelled Reich to add.
I want her undamaged, understand?
With her hauling a freight like that, have a heart, Reich. Quizzard licked his fat lips.
You don't stand a chance. She don't stand a chance. That's what 100 M's are for. I stand a good chance if you get her fast enough. I may have to slush for her. Then slush. Check every body house, Banyu, Blind Tiger and Frab Joint in the city. Pass the word down the grapevine. I'm willing to pay. I don't want any fuss. I just want the girl. Understand?
Quizzard nodded, still jingling the gold.
I understand.
Suddenly Reich reached across the table and slashed Quizzard's fat hands with the edge of his palm. The sovereigns chimed into the air and clattered into the four corners.
And I don't want any double cross,
Reich growled in a deadly voice.
I want the girl.
That's the end of this side.